Just imagine going about your daily life and you get a call to tell you that two bullets have been shot through your window. What on earth do you do? That was the position that my guests found themselves in. Let's find out what they did in this episode of the Keith Blamo Noble radio show.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, Keith Blakemore Noble here, welcoming you back to another episode of the show. And I have got a fantastic guest today, a motivational speaker, author of four books, founder of Four Networking, and mentor to hundreds. My guest is Brad Burton. Now, just before we introduce you to Brad, don't let the jeans, tattoos, and t-shirt fool you. Brad is a true entrepreneur. He was brought up on a council estate. He's got no qualifications. He spent years on the dole, and he started his first business in 2006 with £25,000 worth of personal debt. He delivered pizzas to keep his startup business afloat and to keep his dream alive. That business, Four Networking, revitalized a once tired UK business networking scene, and it now dominates by running over 5,000 events every year. He packs halls with his standing room only seminars, and he's regarded as the UK's number one motivational business speaker. The author of four books, including the highest rating business book on Amazon, his latest book, Now What, is currently storming the charts. Brad will change the way you approach your life, business, and direction forever. That is my guest today. So, hey, Brad, how are you doing?
Kicking ass as always, Keithy baby.
Good to hear that. Great to have you on here. Now, most people know you as the UK's number one motivational business speaker, but we wanted to explore something that happened before that, because the show is all about fear. And I mean, let's face it, when you're getting your window shot at, there must be a heck of a lot of fear that's going on there. So take us back to what happened before that incident with the windows being shot.
So listen, it's in my book, Get Off Your Arse 2, Chapter 2. It's a dark story, and actually I could take it there if you really want me to, but it's not a pleasant or fun upbeat story. But needless to say, look, everything happens for a reason, and that was the worst day of my life, January the 2nd, 1995. I got two bullets put through my bedroom window, and I moved effectively overnight, as you would do. You know, if I said to you, Keith, you've got to move to a new location where nobody knows you, where would you move to?
That is a damn good question. It would have to be some other country. Yeah,
and that's what happened to me. I had to make that decision rapid. You know, I didn't have the luxury of thinking about it. I had to make a decision to get out of there. And fear does that to you. Fear does that. It either moves you towards something, or it kind of suppresses you, so you don't move. It moves you away from something, or you kind of shuts you down. And in this case, I had survival kicked in. Now, what was interesting about that whole time was, as a result of that fear, I kind of didn't believe there was going to be a tomorrow. So consequently, what I did is I lived every day like it was my last. And that's great until, of course, you then wake up the next day and you kind of mess your life up. And you know, whether it was overeating, drinking, drugs, or whatever I ended up doing, I kind of lived in this short-termism. There wasn't a future. So I was quite dour. I was quite depressed, actually. I spent many, many years full of depression, or I was even taking Fluoxetine, which is Prozac. But when I look at back now and I look at that time, you know, everything happened for a reason. And as scary as that was, it's kind of prepared me for today, because, you know, it's been a nice grounding, that fear that I kind of dealt with. When, no matter what problems anyone's got right now, if you go and get some gunman from Manchester to put some bullets through your window, you know, that once, oh my gosh, I've got an invoice going out next week. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your fear? It's like an 8. Then all of a sudden you put two bullets through a window. Now the 8 is now a 2 or a 1. So it kind of recalibrates your whole ability to deal with fear.
Got it, yeah. So, I mean, how do you, I mean, it's something I guess most of us can't even imagine, the thought of bullets going through the window. How the heck do you deal with that? How do you not just give up? I mean, what is it that gets you going and makes you go, right, I'm going to get through this?
So Great question. Looking back, Keith, I did give up. I did give up. I did 4 years on benefits. I got addicted to drugs twice. I did give up. And actually, the only reason I kind of stopped doing drugs is I run out of money. That's the reality of it.
So
you look at that. Yeah, actually, what that did is it suppressed me. So initially, I got away from the fear from Manchester to Somerset, and then I went into suppression mode, which is what fear does to you. So I got out of the immediate set, and I felt worthless. I didn't believe that I had a way through this, that, you know, I was preordained to be a Salford lad. And actually, it just shows you that having turned my life around, that I always ask this question when the shit is the fan, what does this make possible? And actually, what this made possible was a new fresh start. I didn't see that fresh start for many, many years. What I saw is that I kind of spent so much time looking wistfully about my previous life, wanting that back, when actually I should have been looking forward. And right now, as we're in the throes of COVID-19, same principle. So many people are looking about, you know, what life was like before this. And, you know, they had a contract or they had a job or they had a business, and now it's changed, as opposed to going, okay, what does this make possible?
And that's, to me, that's a really, really important point that you touched on right at the start there. It's one that so many people, we often hear all these great inspirational stories about people, they're in the pits of despair and they turn it around and my life's brilliant. You touched on a very important point there. Life was shit for a while afterwards. It did suck.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's a really important thing for people to realize that, yes, you can get over it, but it is human, perfect. It's totally human. It's going to suck for a while.
Absolutely. If you think about that, that was 25 years ago. Just did my math then. 25 years ago, that happened. 25 years ago, and I wasted 5 years of my life really feeling down, looking downbeat and the likes. And actually, I look at it now, it was the greatest thing that ever happened. If you think about you and I speaking, you've helped me with various things through, you know, the hypnosis. And actually, it's like, none of this would have happened if it wasn't for the worst day of my life. What would you be doing right now, you know, in lieu of interviewing me or doing four networking meetings? And my wife, what would she be doing? Who would she be with? So everything happens for the reason. I've got three amazing children, with my wife. And actually, they would never have happened if it wasn't for the worst day of my life. So when, there's two things here. One, ask that question, what does this make possible? When the shit is hitting the fan. And the other thing is, when it's getting really hard, and it will get hard, say to yourself, this is not how my story ends. I think of it like a chapter of a book. This is not how this chapter ends. This is not how this book ends. Okay, how does it end? Well, I end up with success. Okay, great. That's where you want it to end. How do you get from chapter two right now to where you need to be? What are the stories that you need to write between now and then in order to get to where you need to be? And actually, if you think about me, no qualifications, working class lad, you know, shot at, addicted to drugs twice, 4 years on benefits, delivering pizzas at 31, and yet I've written four books and I'm a motivational speaker at the highest level in the UK and I've run my own businesses. It's like, wow, how did that happen? And it happened because somewhere along the way, I decided that whole strand or life that I was kind of thought was mine, I decided that actually I'm going to get off this track and we can all do that.
Yeah, and that whole quote about this is not how it ends, I think that is a really brilliant one. It turns what feels like a life-ending thing, it turns it just into, it's a cliffhanger at the end of the chapter or the end of the episode. How do they get out of that? Tune in next week and find out.
Absolutely. You know, Keith, it's funny because you think about your majoring on fear. I'm a professional speaker. Now, there's been times as a professional speaker when I've got up and I've been fearful, my heart pounding, boom, 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 boom. I remember one specific period, it was like maybe 6 years ago, I got two paid speaking gigs. One was on a Tuesday, the other one was on a Thursday. So I remember being outside these, and I'd never got two paid gigs in a week, maybe not a month. So, you know, you kind of know you're making it. And I'm outside Hilton Hotel in Reading, and I'm due to be speaking, let's say 2 o'clock, and it's 12 o'clock, and I'm there, and my heart is pounding, bam, bam, bam. And I said to my wife, I am so scared. And I said to her, I said, if I could, Men in Black, give them their money back and use that thing to totally forget about it, I would do right now. And that's what fear did. Now, I did that event, and I kind of got through. You know, I was fearful, and then did the event on Tuesday, and that was once again. But that's how you overcome fear, is by dealing with it. And the way that I've become a professional speaker now, and I'm speaking in front of 3,000 accountants, and I'm not your typical bedfellow for an accountant, so you appreciate. And yet somewhere along the way, it kind of works. And that was because 6 years ago, I got over that fear. I've been on stage and I've died in front of audiences, died, corpse, like you wouldn't believe. 45 minutes to speak, 25 minutes in, and I'm dead. I've got nothing left. And the audience is just looking at me vacant. What would you do at that time? You've got to overcome your fear, and that's exactly what I've done throughout. And it's only when you actually start exploring that, I go, yeah, okay, that's what's happened. Every single time when I've been fearful, I push through.
Got it. Do you still feel any slight twinges of fear when you're going on stage, like when you're going on in front of the thousands of accountants? So,
great question. So on occasion, yes, and there's no rhyme or reason for that. Like, you know, you could get pangs of fear or self-doubt in front of 20 people. So it's not the number which you could probably think it would be. It's not that. And I've no idea. There's no, like genuinely, if you said to me, why are you feeling that way? I've got no idea. I did one gig last year and I'm backstage and I've got my tattoos here. And I'm backstage and I could hear them introducing me and I've got to go on now and you've got to come out and you've got to be all the showman. And actually backstage, bam, 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 bam. So yes, I do. It's not like it once was. And you also know yourself. You go, listen, Brad, you've spoken in public thousands of times. This is not fair that you beat yourself up here. You know, how many times have you died? So I probably died in the last 7-8 years, probably 10 times, and I must have spoke 1,000 times. So you're talking like 0.1% or whatever the math is on it. It rarely happens, but you were always at the back of your mind, and it is at the back of your mind.
Exactly. You're right. That's exactly where it is. And I think that's an important point. A lot of people think, oh, I must be doing something wrong because I've done all this stuff and I'm still scared. But as you've attested, everybody gets fear from time to time. And it varies from time to time as well. You can do one, feel absolutely fine, do another one, and you're bricking it the whole way.
Well, it's funny, Keith, because if you look at any kind of professional singer or you know, Girls Aloud, they was the same. But you wouldn't see that. And I think that's the ability of a show person, is that you don't see fear. What you see is somebody professional. You see somebody go, oh, my gosh, I'd love to have that confidence. Yet backstage, they're being sick or they're, you know, shaking. And like, I've not been sick, but I've felt sick. I've shaken before now. My back, my right leg shakes like Elvis, right? Like literally shakes, you know, like a dog.
And I'll be watching for that next time I see you live.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, listen, on occasion, you know, it's no longer like it once was. But most people, when you die on stage, will say, I am never doing that again. Never doing that again. And actually, what makes an expert? An expert is someone that has made all the mistakes in a particular niche field. So when it comes to speaking, I've made all the mistakes. I've made those down payments on future death decisions. And actually, if you die on stage and you choose never to do that again, you kind of failed yourself there, because you need to push through that fear, like genuinely. So for all my flamboyance, and everyone sees the showman, I have had absolute fear. What I will say, it's having been speaking for 10 years or whatever it's been, having done that my biggest gig to date, which was the 3,000 accountants in November 2019, it was almost like I had no nerves at all. As in, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 1.5, like disproportionate amount of low nerves. And it was like I deserved that. It was like my life's work. And it was amazing. You know, if you've seen it, the 36 seconds of me at the end there, just getting a big round of applause. It was like, wow. And if my biggest, the 36 seconds, the video, basically sums up, in fact, I'm going to put it on now. Basically, it sums up what my entire kind of life's work, really, on this 36 seconds. So this will be one of those, well, there you go. This will be one of those ones where, when my life's over, then it'll be played at the funeral. That this is just amazing, you know, to have done that from a guy that has come from this guy who was addicted to drugs and, you know, struggled with life, to have got to that point where I've pushed myself.
Yeah, of course, as you say, this is not how it ends. So speaking in front of 3,000 accountants, massive achievement. Obviously, that's not how it ends. What's next? What's your next big way out there?
I've not got one, Keith. No, I've not, because I've actually achieved everything that I've wanted to have achieved in my life, and every single goal that I've ever wanted to achieve, I've achieved now. You know, I don't have a goal to have a Learjet or to have a private island. They're pretty sedentary, my goals. You know, get a house, which I've got, get a car, which I've got, to be happy. You know, I've written 4 books, and there was somebody on social media that kind of bore me out and said, you know, you've got self-limiting beliefs, Brad. Why? Well, you know, because Tony Robbins has got £300 million of, you know, dollars of net worth, and you've got, I said, right, and I'm happy. Like, genuinely, that's, that to me, If you look there on the screen there, you know, to have achieved that from a guy that has come from nothing, if all I ever achieved was that, would be suffice. And I think that's the bit where what I've done is what's next for me is to really, you know, I've got a fifth book that I'm working on, but it's not like I'm giving birth to it. It's not like I need to get it out there. So it's quite a sedentary pace. It's not like Fun Networking Online, which is that's kind of going to go global. But actually, am I kind of forcing it? No. So for my kind of goal is to maintain my happiness. and it's such a, it seems such a simple goal, but for so many people, happiness eludes them.
Gotcha. So now it's more a case of you've put the work in, you've done what it takes to get to where you are. Now it's kind of enjoy the rewards and keep your hand on the tiller.
Yeah.
Keep the course going nice and steady.
Of course. But you know, because if all I ever achieved in my life was this, then that's good. But there just seems to be this constant hunger for the next thing. And so many people are rushing to the next thing. Like, you know, I'm a guy from Council Estates, you know, and yet I've achieved all this thing. And like, so many people want to go to the next mountain. And there comes a point when you've conquered all the mountains, when actually you go, what are you doing this for? And I think, if, like I say, and that's I'm probably the only person in the world who says, you know what, I actually don't really want to push myself. And it's not that I've not got it, but I always say this when I speak, there's two things that are going to run out. There's two things that you've got. And one's going to run out first. Is it ambition or is it ability? Ambition or ability? And actually, I wonder whether my ambitions kind of fell away. And I don't. I genuinely question whether my ambition, because certainly not my ability, but do I really want to be going to America and doing big conferences? Yes. Can I be asked actually making it happen? Not really. If the phone call rang and said, do you want to come and speak? I'd say yes. But, you know, that kind of drive that I once had to go, yeah, I want to go conquer the world. Not really. I'm quite happy just conquered my own fears and conquered my own head.
Nice. Nice, I like that. So you kind of reach that point in life where you realize it's not all just about the struggle and the chase. It's about, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? I'm now enjoying what I have achieved.
Keith, nice. I'm 47. You know, now this is the thing where I'm 47 years old, and you think to yourself, at what point do you do that? Do you wait till you're 57? You know, my dad died at 53, 54, and it's like, you know, if I was on this timeline, then I've got myself 6 years left. So, do you know what I mean? It's just like, there's this constant hunkering to go and get a bigger house, to get a faster car. You know, there's that now 3% faster than the previous one. You just spent £100,000 on that. It's like, I don't get it. And I'm not built that way. And I'm not built that way, that my version of success, having come from a working class background, my version of success would be to have money in your pocket. You can go buy a computer game or go buy a takeaway. And to be at the point where I'm at in my life, it's like, you know, I just don't get it. I just don't get this. Yeah. If I go back when I first started, maybe I did. That's what I wanted. Now, what a 10-bedroom mansion. I've got a 5-bedroom house with one room that I don't go in. And if I work really hard and get a 10-bedroom mansion with 6 rooms I don't go in, and it's just like, what is going on? There comes a point when you're buying stuff for the sake of stuff. And it's not that I'm adverse to money. Money, you know, I changed my relationship with money. I used to think that money, I'd give my last pound to a big issue salesman. And actually, then something changed. I realized that actually, you know, in the event of an emergency, place your own oxygen mask on for other people. I realized something, that the more clout, influence, power, and money that I've got, the more I can help people. And I said, it was a flip with everything there. But there comes a point when actually, I've got friends of mine with so much money, but they're not happy, like genuinely, deep down, unhappiness, because all they've got is lots of money, and it becomes worthlessness when you've got lots of it, because every single, it's like time, it becomes more valuable the less of it we've got. Money becomes less valuable the more of it you've got.
Got it. That makes sense. I guess it's about knowing what you want the money for. Somebody once pointed out to me, when people say, I want money, it's no, you don't want money, you want what the money gets you. If you spend your whole time going for the money, you're not actually getting the thing you truly want.
Absolutely, nice. which is contentment or happiness, which is what everyone's chasing, happiness and contentment. And when you get money and yet you're still happiness and contentment elude you, somewhere along the way, you think that getting more money is the solution, because you think, well, I've lived in the dream here, what I was told success was. You get there and you go, this isn't, oh, it must be some more money. And actually, I realised that that wasn't the case. I realised really early on that actually I've got an arcade machine. You know, a childhood dream of mine. I've realised I have an arcade machine. Wouldn't my life be better if I had two arcade machines or a bigger screen? Or and it just, and it never ends. You end up on this hamster wheel of chasing of an unattainable goal.
Mm. Gotcha. Thinking back to that young you who had the window shot in, a couple of questions there. One, What do you think the young you would think of what you've achieved now? And What advice would you give that young you, if
great
any?
Great question. So the young me would not believe it, would go, that doesn't make any sense. If the advice I could give myself back then is that you are enough, like get yourself out of this short-term mindset. You are going to survive. You are going to get through this. And actually, what does life look like when you get through this and you do survive, rather than this, you're not going to survive, you're not going to get through this, which was a fear, ladles of fear, kind of suppressed me and created me this kind of, not introvert, because that was never me, but this kind of subdued version of Brad. And actually, subdued version of Brad isn't getting the best out of me. You know, one that is effervescent and full of energy in life, that's where the success lies, and that's what I need to find. So rather than me, it eludes me for 5 years. If I'd have got on this earlier, life would be better.
Got it. Do you think that young Brad would have listened to that advice, or do you think he needed to go through that 5 years, the wilderness years, in order to become the person who could then go on to become you?
No, I think if I would have met me and someone who was, and this is what I do with my Now What Club, you know, I'm about that guy, I'm that guy who tries to influence positively based on my life experience and actually steer people. I can't do people's press-ups for them. But what I can do is I can advise, I can steer based on my experience. If people ignore that advice, that's their decision. In fact, every decision that we make in our life is our decision, ultimately. So I think I probably would have listened if I'd had the right role models. My role models were, and this is sadly what's going on in the world today, the role models are rap stars with caps backwards and, you know, three women in bikinis in a jacuzzi and a Lamborghini doing gun fingers. And I think that's where my kind of role models were. As I know definitively right now, as you say that, in my mind's eye, I can tell you exactly what was going on. Back then, there was an RS Turbo Escort with Turbo Technics in neon pink on the side. As a drug dealer with a gold chain, and that was my role model. That's what I wanted to achieve. That was as good as it got for a working class lad. An RS Turbo that went really fast with Turbo Technics right on the side in neon pink. And this is why we kind of got to give people better role models, because if that's all that a young kid from Salford can aspire to is a drug dealer, something's going very, very wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. We do need better role models, and it starts with us, really, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
It starts with each and every one of us to be the best role model we can be for the next generation.
Correct.
Brilliant. Brad, it's been fascinating chatting with you as always. Thank you so much for that. If people want to find out a bit more about Brad, or maybe even find out how they can benefit and work with, ultimately work with you, what's the best way for them to find out more?
So do check out my private members club, nowwhatclub.rocks. All right, I'm on no sales pitch, but I'm there for you. And actually what I've done is I've created, if you look at what I've done, whether it's business network, and I kind of transformed or changed the game with that, but it's business books. Once again, I kind of changed the game with that, whether it's motivational speaking. I've been pretty disruptive. Well, the same goes for this personal development world, because I think for too long it's been self-serving. It's been it's so expensive. It must work. Well, actually, on the contrary, I'm doing it the other way, which is it's so cheap or whatever. What's the problem with it? There's nothing. And this is the thing, I'm trying to disrupt that market as well. So that's where I'm at, nowwhatclub.rocks, or check out my business network, For Networking, or ForNOnline.biz, or Brad Burton. But I'd love if you have listened to this and in some way or form it spoke to you, make contact with me. You'll find me on social medias.
Brilliant. So again, that's nowwhatclub.rocks or ForNOnline.biz. And full disclosure, I'm in Now What Club. That's how Brad and I have got to know each other, and it really does work. Definitely check it out. Thank you so much for your time, Brad. Thank you, everyone, for catching us. Wherever you caught us, remember to like, subscribe, share the links, drop a comment. We'll catch you next time. And until then, I'll just leave you with this great quote from Brad. Remember, this is not how it ends.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.